Colossians chapter 1 tonight. Thank you, girls. We're going to begin reading verse 25, if you'd stand with me, please, once you found your place. Colossians 1, 25. Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. You know, I just want you to know, church, every one of you here, that as a minister of the gospel like the Apostle Paul was, here he's saying he was made a minister, and anybody that is full-time in ministry is put there by God. Made a minister according to the dispensation of God, according to God's will and God's plan. And it says, for one reason, listen to me now, for one reason God has put me in this pulpit, to fulfill the word of God. And can I say something to you lovingly, whether you like it or not? I cannot change the word of God for you. I will not. And the Apostle Paul said in other places in Scripture, he said, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Although, he says, although the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. For years that verse puzzled me. I thought, how is it that the more you love somebody, the less they love you? I thought, how is that possible? Until God, through His grace and His mercy and wisdom, helped me understand one day, listen to me, love is not giving people what they want. Love is giving people what they need. And people don't want what they need most of the time. They want what they want. And so the more abundantly the Apostle Paul says, I loved you, the less you loved me. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't want Christ to die for us, but we sure needed it.
Amen.
A minister is made of God, placed of God to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's pray. Father, how we love you tonight. We thank you for the riches of your glory. We thank you, God, for revealing the mysteries of your word to us, your saints, your children. And Lord, tonight, would you help us? Would you help us to lay aside those things that are trying to hinder? Lord, just trying to distract. God, fill us with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. The mystery, we're talking about the mysteries on Wednesday night. Now, the mystery in verse 27 is Christ in you. We're living today in a world of many, many different religions, many different churches. And the Bible tells us that multiple spirits have gone out into the world. These spirits, listen to me, church, there's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit, but there are many spirits. There are many spirits, and these spirits, if they're not of the Holy Spirit, then they are anti-Christ. I don't care how many times they lift up and say the name of Jesus, if they're not of the Holy Spirit, then they are anti-Christ. And they're leading people away from the truth. They're leading people away from the help that they need. by telling them this is what they need, when all that's doing, and listen, all the false religion does, and all the flesh does, and the false religion and coupled together, all that does is lie to people and tell them this is what you need, but in reality it's just what they want. But when Jesus comes along and says, this is what you need, this is truth right here, this is what you need, they crucify him. Who loved them more? Jesus or the spirit of Antichrist? You see, but you can't tell people that nowadays, can you? You can't convince people that what they're doing is destroying them, and what we are trying to give them as a free gift, is the only thing that they will ever have, can ever have hope in. Amen. And let me tell you, the difference between truth and deception is right here in verse 27. Christ in you. Christ in you. Now listen, what I'm talking about is true salvation, true Christianity has nothing to do with you dancing around and acting like a fool. True Christianity has nothing to do with you speaking in another language that really isn't another language at all. True Christianity has nothing to do even with how you feel today. Brother Julio doesn't feel good right now. Does that mean he's not saved? No, I feel fine. I'm no more saved than he is. He doesn't feel like it, though. He feels sick. He's at home in bed. So it has nothing to do with how I feel. It has to do with Christ in me. Amen. That's salvation. That's truth. That's Christianity. It has nothing to do with anything you do. It has nothing to do with anything you do to earn this gift of salvation. It has nothing to do with who you think you are, or how wonderful you think you are, or how popular, or how prestigious, or how much money you can have. It's not about you doing any certain thing or being any certain person. It's about whether or not is Christ in you or not. If he's not, you're not saved. If he is, you're saved. It's not about it's not about what the flesh makes it all about. It's about, is Christ in you? If Christ is not in you, friend, listen to me, you're not saved. You're not saved. 1 John 5:11-12 says, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life given to us. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There is no life outside of Jesus Christ. It's not about knowing about him. It's not about hearing about him. It's about him being in you. You having the Son of God in you. It's a mystery. If Christ is not in you, it says Christ is the hope of glory. The hope. Not the wishing, I hope. It's the absolute assurance, a certainty of glory one day. The hope, the certainty of glory. 1 Timothy 1:1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. Our hope is not built on shifting sand, amen, but on the solid rock that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hope is Christ. In us. In us. Verse 3, look there in Colossians 1 where you're at. Verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Notice, look, for the hope which is laid up for you where? In heaven. Where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel? The hope which is laid up for you where? In heaven. The hope that we're talking about that is heaven one day. It's the fact that Christ is in me. And when Christ is in me, I'm as good as already there. Nothing can ever take that away. Amen. When we're saved, we're born again. Jesus told Nicodemus there in John 3, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? Can he enter again into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, no. Listen to me. That which is born of the water is water. That of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Two births. Flesh, physical. Spirit, spiritual. When God, listen, when God gave us the second birth, when God saved us, He put Christ in us, and because of that Spirit of God, Christ Himself in us, that's why we're born again, because we've been given life that we did not have before. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were dead in sin. We were alive physically walking around, but dead spiritually. Nothing there. The mystery of Christ in you. When we receive the Spirit of God, which is what God gives us when we get saved, we receive Christ. Because listen to me, they're the same. They are the same, one and the same. When we got saved, we were given eternal life because we were given Christ. What does John 14:6 say? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I'm not leading you. He didn't say, I'm leading you to the truth or I'm taking you to life. He said, I am life. I am the life. I am the life. So if He's in there, then there's life in there. Amen. That nobody can take away. Amen. It's not a theory. Amen. It's a person. Amen. It's not a religion. It's a person in me. It's a person in me. Salvation, listen to me, doesn't happen in heaven. Salvation happens in us. Do you hear what I said? Salvation doesn't happen in heaven. They rejoice. Yes, they do. They sing and shout and have a tremendous time in heaven over one lost sinner that repents. But listen to me, salvation didn't really happen there. Salvation happened right here in me and you when you got saved. Christ is in there now. Listen, the Bible says, yes, that Jesus, God puts us in the Lamb's book of life, but only when He puts the life of the Lamb in us. Are you listening to me? Amen. One reason this is a mystery, listen now. One reason this is a mystery is because we always think of people as bodies. Bodies. But listen to me, the body is not the person. The body is not the person. The soul who is in that body, that's the person. Amen. That's the person. The body is not a person. The body is simply a vessel, a house, if you will, for the soul. Now, you go down to 7-Eleven, which is popping up everywhere nowadays. You go down to a 7-Eleven or wherever you choose to go by and go buy yourself a Coca-Cola. Or like some people say, Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola. Or whatever you prefer. Mountain Dew in this day and age. Dr. Pepper probably. Or maybe just a water. Okay, water. Whatever you want. I don't want to leave anybody out. Lemonade. Okay, whatever you like. Go down there and buy yourself a drink. Pull it off the shelf and go pay for it. And now you got yourself a Coca-Cola. Or do you? I thought you bought a bottle. You bought a bottle of water. You bought a bottle of Coke. You bought a bottle of Pepsi. A bottle of Dr. Pepper. Or a can, whatever you prefer. They still have a few cans out there. But listen, if I pour that Coca-Cola into a styrofoam cup, what do I have then? No, I still got a Coca-Cola. All I did was change the vessel. All I did was change what I put it in. Okay? The Coke or the value of that, whatever I paid for, is not that stupid plastic bottle. What is it? It goes in the trash after I'm done. I pour it into a cup with some ice or whatever I do. Then I still have me a drink, but the bottle goes over here. Now, did I throw away my Coke? No. I still have my Coke. I just threw away the vessel. You've been to a funeral, haven't you? I'm not talking about yours. I mean, you've been to a funeral, haven't you? If you've been to your own funeral and you're here today, talk to me after church. But you've been to a funeral. You've seen so-and-so there in the casket. But that's not so-and-so. But they talk about him or her. And they mention him or her's name, and they talk. And then you go around, and you look at this. It's just that is nothing but a body. That's no longer that person. What I'm trying to get you to see, the reason that we think about how can Christ be in me is because it's not a body. It's a spirit. It's a soul. It's the spirit of Christ in us. It's God's spirit in us. It's no different than a Coke being in a bottle or a cup or a can or whatever. The Coke is what's in it. That's the value. What's in me is who I am. Brother Frog, I can lose weight. I can gain weight. I can gray hair. I can cut my hair. I can let it grow. My body can change. But who I am in me, Lord willing, will get better. Amen. With time. But my body is temporary. Amen. My body is temporary. Jesus' body was temporary. Your body is temporary. What's in you is what's eternal. Your soul. What's in there is what's eternal. Your soul. And listen, your soul need it now. With Christ being in there, now you have life in there. Now you have eternal life in there. Now you have the very Spirit of God in there. Now you have Jesus Christ Himself. Now you have God. Listen, it's not just a religion. It's a relationship with a living Savior in your heart. It's a beauty. That's what Christianity is. That's the difference. Let's look at the riches. It says there in verse 27, the riches of the glory of this mystery. The riches of the glory. Man, it just sounds like it's a big deal, huh? Riches of the glory. It is a big deal. It's everything. Number one, quickly, this is a possession, not just a confession. This is a possession, not just a confession. True salvation requires a confession of faith in Christ, yes, but it demands a change of heart first. It demands a change of heart first. You know what? I know words are cheap. I've talked about this before, but I can tell somebody I love them without meaning it. I can tell somebody anything I want to tell somebody without meaning it. And see, but here's what we can fool other people, but listen, it's the change of heart that God sees. It's the change of heart that God rewards. It's the change of heart that God gives salvation to. It's not the lip service. It's not the confession of sin. It's the change of heart. It's not some empty words that are trying to get me out of hell and go on living my own life like I always did. It's not about confessing my sins. It's not about me confessing that I'm a sinner. It's a change of heart. It's all about the heart. Look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, quickly. Let me show you something here. Mark chapter 10. This is a possession, not just a confession. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy mother, father and thy mother." Verse 20, and he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him. Now, since Jesus loved him, you would think that maybe Jesus is just going to go ahead and tell him whatever he wants to hear. No. That's the world's definition of love. True love is telling you exactly what you need to hear. Jesus said in love, he said, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, come, take up the cross and follow me." Wow! You know, he just ripped him apart in just a matter of words. He said, okay, so you're perfect, huh? Okay, go sell everything that you have, come take up the cross. A cross is nothing but struggle, suffering, hard times, pain. Go sell everything you have. Be prepared for a lifetime of sacrifice and suffering and follow me. Why did Jesus say that? Well, that was mean. What, is that really what salvation is all about? No, it's not. But listen to me. And he was sad in verse 22 and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Listen, guys, listen. Jesus knew this man's heart was not sincere. Amen. Jesus knew this man's heart was not sincere. He knew that this young man was just trying to add Jesus to some imaginary list of possessions that I have. He had great possessions. He said, okay, now, with all my great possessions, let me have Jesus too. With all my great possessions, let me have eternal life too. And Jesus said, you know what? You're not impressing me with your theology. You're not impressing me with the fact that you've never broken a commandment. Right there, dead giveaway. Bling! He has no idea what it means to be saved. Folks, you and I were born sinners. We were conceived in iniquity. There's no way we could stand. How could you possibly stand there and say, Master, all of these I've observed from my youth. See, Jesus knew his heart. And he said, okay, go sell everything you have. Why did he use that? If he told me to do that, it wouldn't be such a big deal. Because I don't have nothing. Oh, you listen to me. It wouldn't be such a big deal. But this young man was rich. He had many possessions. He had a whole lot of stuff. And see, what Jesus was doing was going right to the heart of the matter was, you're not wanting to be saved. You just want to add me to your possessions. That, see, he went away. He went away sad. And as far as we know, he's in hell today. Because his heart, he sounded right. Boy, he sounded religious. He sounded perfect. He said, what must I do? And Jesus is trying to tell him, you can't do anything, son, except admit that you need me more than you need anything else you have. Amen. Have you done that? Do you really, with all your heart? See, salvation, Christ in you, is only put there by God Himself. By grace are you saved through faith. What is grace? Grace is God giving us something we don't deserve. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus knew what was in this man's heart. This is a perfect story of what so many times happens, just like the woman at the well. The lady said, give me of that water that I might drink. Give me of that water that I might have that life. And Jesus said, go get your husband. Oh, my husband? Well, I have no husband. And he said, yeah, I know you have no husband. You've had five, and now you're living with a man. What's he doing? He's pulling her heart out. Because he knows she doesn't really want him. She just wants what she can get. That's not what salvation... Listen, it's about a heart knowing that I'm a sinner, knowing that Jesus Christ died for me, and that there's no other way to be saved except I trust Him and Him alone. And I'm willing, and there's nothing in this world that can make me doubt. I just talked to a young lady yesterday at the door for probably, must have been at least 30 minutes. And she had no, pretty much just Catholic background. And she had no idea about true salvation, of course, unfortunately. But she had been to the Catholic Church and she had confessed her sins, and I said, listen, let me ask you something. Is Jesus Christ in you? What? What does that mean? What do you mean? And I showed her these verses and other verses around here, and I said, look, I'm talking about salvation. I'm not talking about going to church or being religious or Baptist or Catholic. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about the fact that you are... See, what she had just admitted to me 5 minutes before that she was going to hell. And I said, okay, well, if you want to go to hell... No, I don't want to go to hell. I understand that. Well, then, you know why you're going to hell? Why? Because I'm a sinner. You're a sinner? Yes, I'm a sinner. You've sinned before? Yes, I have. I said, Jesus Christ is your only hope for salvation. Jesus Christ is your only hope, and but not just hearing about Him, He must be in you. See, she never heard that before. And praise the Lord, she accepted Christ, and she got saved, as far as I know. But see, God is the one that sees the heart. Amen. Salvation is not about you making yourself feel better. It does make you feel better, though. It gives you peace that you never had before. And it's not just about us confessing our sins. I'm telling you what, that is the biggest lie. God already knows you're a sinner. Because most people confess their sins for one reason, because they feel guilty. They don't want to stop their sin. They don't want to change their lifestyle. They just feel guilty, and they don't want God to spank them. So that, I confess to you, God. And listen, and it doesn't change anything. And it's a miserable life. It's not about confessing your sins. If somebody tells you that, and they think that's salvation, because there again, that's what religion has told them. But the Christ is not in there just because they confess their sins. It's about receiving Jesus Christ. It's about repenting of sin. In other words, and all that means is I have a change of heart towards my sin. I have a change of heart towards myself. I realize that I can't stop sinning. I realize that I can't do it on my own. I can't change my life. I need Jesus to save me or else I'm doomed. Amen. It's a heart change. It's not just confessing I'm a sinner. God doesn't, listen, can I tell you something? God does not forgive our sins just because we confess them. No, He doesn't do that. He only forgives them when we admit that Christ died to pay for them because we had no hope any other way. In other words, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The only reason God forgave you is because of Jesus. Not because you confessed your sin, but because of Jesus. Because He saw a heart that was repentant, a heart that was genuinely distraught, genuinely wanted Jesus to save him because he knew he had no other hope. True salvation happens, listen to me, from that instant and forever. We possess in our hearts. We don't just confess and profess. We possess, amen, in our hearts the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not some prayer that we prayed. It's not some act that we did. It's a heart of faith in Jesus Christ. Then God gives us His only begotten Son, salvation. The Holy Spirit. It's a possession, not just a confession. Quickly, the second aspect of this, it's not just a person in me, but it's the complete Godhead. Look in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm hurrying, but I've got a lot to say, so I'm going to hurry. John 14, verse 16. Now I will pray the Father. Jesus speaking here, of course. I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now quickly, this is how come salvation is eternal. This is why all of that stuff, the mockery of the false religions, they all say one thing they all always fight is once saved, always saved. They always fight that you can't be saved forever. They always fight that salvation is everlasting. They always fight that. Almost every single religion fights the fact that salvation is eternal. And the reason is that they don't understand that when I got saved, I got all of God in me. Look, first of all, I got the Holy Spirit. Look in verse 16. I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even who? The Spirit of truth. The Bible says that when I got saved, Jesus gave me, through the Father, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive. Why not? Because their hearts are wicked. Because their hearts are wicked. The world cannot receive Him. The world cannot receive Him because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Who's He talking about? The Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? In you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own. And the rest of that scripture goes on to say, therefore, glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which are God's. Ladies, you heard some things last night from my wife that you will never hear, I guarantee you, in any other church in this city. But you needed it. You needed it. Because that body is not yours. This body ain't mine. I'm to glorify God in my body. Because now my body's not possessing a Coca-Cola anymore. My body's possessing God Himself. Amen. He is now living in me. This body is His temple. A temple, this is the church building. But this is not the church. This is the church.
Amen.
The people. We could go and move anywhere. We could go to my living room. We could go back to my garage. We could go anywhere. We'd still be the Amazing Grace Baptist Church. It's not, and listen, God can take any vessel who is willing to accept Him with their heart. And listen, but He moves in. And then, listen, now that we're here though, this is God's temple. This is God's building.
Amen.
He gave it to us. He dwells here with us. I'm simply saying to you, ladies, you need to be thankful for a lady, a pastor's wife, who will stand up and tell you the truth.
Amen.
You ought to thank God. You know what's sad is, I'm not sure. I didn't ask her. But I would venture to guess none of you thanked her for telling you that. Did they? Okay, good. Every one of you should have. Because it's truth. It's Bible.
Amen.
It's going to help you. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you now. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives in there. You're the temple of God. You're not only just the Holy Spirit, but read on there in John chapter 14. But the Son Himself, Jesus Himself, verse 18. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus is speaking here. I will come to you. So you got the Holy Spirit. You've got Jesus Himself saying, I will come to you. And this in verse, a little while, verse 19, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I'm in my Father, and ye in me, notice, and I in you. There it is, Jesus Himself in you. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves, know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. If He's not in there, you're just as lost as the next man. So you got the Holy Spirit, you've got the very Son of God Himself, you've got God the Father. Look in verse 21. He that keepeth my commandments and that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, not unto the world? Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, keep my words, my Father will love him. We will come into him and make our abode, we, me and my Father. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in you. How is that possible? Well, I'm not going to preach on the Trinity tonight, but there's one God existing in three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, how else could you make that work, what I just read to you? You see, there's a heavenly divine Trinity at work in this world in you. There's lots of spirits in people. The body says we're spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is either your carnal spirit or your Holy Spirit. Your soul is your eternal self, and your body is just the vessel that's going to fall off one day. You too are a Trinity, just like God. It's a perfect, your family's a Trinity. Father, Son, children, and Holy Spirit, Mommy. Trinity is everywhere, all over the place, but it's in you when you get saved. Not just the Holy Spirit, yes. Not just Jesus, yes. But all three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in you. This is not just a person. This is the very fullness of the Godhead in you.
Amen.
This is a blessing.
Amen.
It is an amazing blessing. Truth. No other religion will ever tell you this. Because they don't believe it. And without it, there's no salvation. Sad, isn't it? Finally, I conclude with this last thought. The riches of the glory of this mystery. Not only is it a possession, not just a confession. Not only is it the complete Godhead in me, not just some person. But it's also, finally, this is the proof of my salvation, not just some cute thought. Not just some cute doctrine. Romans chapter 8. This is the proof of my salvation. This is how I know I'm saved every day. It ain't had nothing to do with my feelings. Like I told you earlier, nothing to do with how I work or how I do or this. Don't do that. It's about Jesus Christ, God the Father, Holy Spirit of God in me. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard... I'm sorry, that's the wrong book. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's why we can call God Father, because we've received the spirit of adoption. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit itself, the Spirit of God, capital S, beareth witness with our spirit. God in me, listen to me, will be constantly reminding me that I am His. God in me will be constantly reminding me that I belong to Him. There's the proof of our salvation. This truth, listen to me, this truth is what distinguishes true Christians from fake churchgoers. This truth right here. God's Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. What does that mean? Just continually reminding you that you belong to God. That's the proof of you. I don't feel saved today. Well, get in that book right there and God's Spirit, if you are saved, God's Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. I belong to God. I don't feel saved today. Then if it's a church day, don't you ever stay home just because you don't feel like coming to church. That's when you need to come the most. I'm not talking about being sick. Sickness is one thing. But I'm talking about just because you don't feel saved or you don't feel like singing. That's when you need to be here the most. Because that's when the Spirit of God is going to bear witness with your spirit. You're my child and you're going to leave here in a much better spirit than you came. Because God's Spirit will bear witness. God will tell you that you belong to Him. God will remind you that you are His. When it bears witness, what does that mean? A witness on a witness stand. All that person is doing is sitting there telling you what he knows. And God's Spirit continues to tell us what he knows. You are mine. You are mine. You belong to me. You are saved. It doesn't matter what happens to you. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter if you're not healthy. It doesn't matter if somebody else spits on you. You belong to me. Don't worry. Fear not. I am with thee.
Amen.
God's Spirit continually bearing witness with my spirit. That still small voice. This is why true Christianity changes people. Because see, this drives me to please the Christ in me. This drives me to please the one who loves me and lives in me. John chapter 8 says, He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Christ said, see, same Holy Spirit was in Christ. And He said, I do always those things that please Him. Because He knew, listen to me, God was with Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God was in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, this drives me to do always those things that please Him. I want to go only where He would go. I remember hearing not too long ago, somebody was home with a sick child. I won't say any names. And they told someone else. And then I heard that they were home with a sick child and they felt miserable. They were miserable at home because we were having church. It was a church service or something like that. There was something going on here. But they couldn't come because they were home with a sick child. And they felt miserable. They felt terrible. You know why that is? God's Spirit in there. They wanted to be in church. They wanted to be in church. I want to go where God wants me to go. Listen, I want to be in the house of God. I want to please the one who loved me and died for me and now lives in me. And I want to do what He wants me to do. I want to go where He wants me to go. I want to say what He would say. I want to think what He would think. I want to wear what would glorify Him. I want to do these things always. Why? Because He doesn't leave you when you leave church. Amen. He's still in there.
Amen.
This drives me to please Him. This creates a desire in me to know His Word better. John chapter 1 said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God.
Man.
That same Word is in you now. Now, you thought I was wrapping up, but listen to me. And I am. But there's something wrong with a Christian who's saved who doesn't care about learning this book.
Man, right.
you're not healthy or you're not saved. You can cross your eyes at me. You can get angry. You can get upset. But if you don't have a desire to learn this book, this is the written Word of God, and the living Word of God lives in you. And the more you know about this, the more you know about Him. He is the Word. And this same Word lives in you, and you're going to tell me that you don't have a desire to learn more, to know more? This Christ in me is proof of my salvation. Don't forget what I'm talking about. Amen. Proof that listen, that I want to please Him. I can't just go off in sin and just do whatever I feel like without feeling terrible. Because He's in me. I can't just lay my Bible on the shelf somewhere and never worry about it, never bring it to church, never read it. Something's wrong. Jesus told the Pharisees, "You seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you." What does that mean? Because you're not saved, my word has no place in you, he said. That's why they argued with Jesus. They got crossways with the preacher. They could just as soon spit on Jesus as look at him, and they did. Why? Because his word wasn't in there. How do you feel? How do you really feel about Jesus? I mean, do you really understand who he is? Do you really love him? Or do you just as soon take him or leave him? Is he really in there? If he is, his words will have place in you. You won't fight them. You'll receive them. This also deepens my knowledge and understanding of His Word. I'm just going through this quickly. The Bible says in Luke 24 that Jesus opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Once you're saved, this book comes alive. It's no longer a boring story. It's no longer a boring fairy tale like it was before you got saved. Do you remember those days when you used to try to read the Bible before you got saved and you say, "What in the world is that talking about? I have no idea. Goodness gracious, this is boring." Well, that's because the Word wasn't in you. That's because Jesus wasn't in you to give you understanding and to give you wisdom to understand it, because He wasn't in here. And He's the Spirit of God is the only one that can teach us this book. Oh, He uses preachers, yes. He uses teachers, yes. But through His Spirit is the only way we can really learn and understand this book. And it drives me to please Him. Listen, it gives me a desire to know Him and to know His Word better. And then I just begin to learn the Bible more. Amen. I'm talking about spiritual growth here. Spiritual growth is not you getting more of God. You got all of God when you got saved. I told you, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. He's all in there if you're saved. It's not about getting more of God. It's about knowing more. It's about being able to base your decisions based on what He would do. It's about knowing Him, therefore living for Him according to what He would do. That's how a person grows. I have convictions for this is what I'm going to do with my life, and I don't care what anybody else says. Why is that? Because I know that's what He would have me do. Amen. It's sad. It's sad to have Christians saved for years. Now I know the world is real, and I know flesh, and I know sin. I understand all that. But God has given us everything we need. All of the Godhead in us. His very Word right here available to us. A church, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, prayer. He's given us everything we need. We ought to be growing. If we're not growing, it's our fault. We're either not saved or we're not trying. This proof of my salvation, not just a cute doctrine, it drives me to please Christ. It gives me a desire to know His Word better. It gives me a deeper knowledge and understanding of His Word once I do begin to read it. It's also, listen to me, divine power to do whatever God leads me to do by faith. Divine power. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Why? How's he strengthen you? Because he's in you. You can, listen to me, you can reach another family. You can. You can make a commitment, and you can keep that commitment to reach, do your part to reach another family by faith. Ladies, listen to me. You can wear what you're supposed to wear as a godly Christian lady. You can. You can be faithful to church. You can read your Bible. You can do all things through Christ. He in you strengthens you. If thou faintest in the day of adversity, thy strength is small, the Bible says. That means Christ is small, right? No. What that means is you've left him somewhere in the corner and let everything else pile up around you and reduced him to an afterthought. This is divine power to do whatever God leads me to do. Christ is in me. How do you think preachers are called out from the gutters of sin to standing in pulpits all over the nation preaching the gospel? Because Christ in them changes them completely. Amen. How do you think a person walks the streets of Denton one day and never having gone anywhere else and then God raises them up and saves them and calls them and they go to a foreign country somewhere in Uganda, Africa and preach the gospel to a native in a little straw hatch hut? How does that happen? Because Christ in them allows him to do anything God wants him to do. Amen. Through him. Because he's in there. At salvation and forever. This is divine power. This is also defeat to anything this world can throw my way. 1 John 4, chapter 4 says, ye are of God, little children, have overcome and have overcome then. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When God's people are devoured, it's not because they couldn't win. It's because they gave up. The proof of my salvation. This doesn't allow me, listen to me, Christ in me does not allow me to ever return to my old life without consequences. He doesn't go away just because I want to leave. He doesn't leave me because I want to leave him. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's what he said. And see, we love that when we want him. But we're not so fond of that when we wish he'd leave us alone. Because we don't want to do what he says. Now, I know none of you would ever be there, but it happens. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christianity is not about me trying. I preached this to you last week, but Christ is all we need. And all of Christ is in all of us that are saved. So why do Christians fail? Why do Christians quit? Christ is all they need. They've got all they need. But Christ is not all to them. You mark it down. Listen to me, friend, church member, Christian. Just because Christ is in you doesn't make him all to you. He's all in there. Every bit of him. Father, Son, Spirit. Every bit of him, he's in there. But that doesn't mean that he's number one. That's what I'm saying. If he's number one, his word will be cherished, adored. You won't be able to get enough of it. You'll love the harder the preaching, the better. Oh, but that's not what I wanted to hear. Listen, you heard what I said at the beginning. It's what you need. You could go ahead and turn off turn off the Holy Spirit, quench him. You could grieve him and quench him completely. You can put him to the side, but he's not going to let you rest. He's going to chasten you. He's going to cry out to you, "What's wrong? Why have you put me in the corner? Why have you left me? What's wrong?" He's going to cry out to you and warn you, "Listen, you're heading the wrong direction. You're heading in the wrong direction. You're heading for a disaster." But if he's not first and foremost, then you maybe not even hear his voice. Christ is all we need. And he's all in us. Every bit of it. He's all we need. But is he all to you? That's the question. Is he all to you? Is there anything else in this world that, like he told the rich young ruler, go sell all that you have? Good thing he didn't tell you that, huh? That's a tough one. But you're already saved. That man wasn't saved. You're saved, I hope. If you're not saved, folks, listen to me. I don't care if it's a Wednesday night or if it's a Sunday morning. I don't care if it's the middle of August or June or July or springtime in January. Amen. Get saved.
That's right.
You know if Christ is in there. Stop fighting it. Get saved.
Amen.
You're never going to know the difference between religion and reality of Christianity and relationship with a living Savior until you get saved. It's not about a little prayer that you prayed. Oh, you're wondering, why does God keep convicting me about salvation? Why does God keep making me so uncomfortable when the preacher preaches about salvation? Why won't he preach about something else? Come on, get off of that. That's because God's convicting you, because Christ may probably not be in you.
Amen.
Get saved.
Amen.
Without it, you have no hope of glory. Father, I pray that you'd bless your word tonight.